All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the annual reorganization meeting of Board of Education of July 7th. Could you please rise for the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, we do the administration of the oath. The administration of the oath is given to the re-elected board members and the superintendent of schools prior to this meeting and will be noted in the minutes. Congratulations to all. The election of offices. I will now accept nominations for the office of president of the Babylon Union Free School District Board of Education.
Mrs. Pesci, I nominate Linda LeBron.
May I have a second? Mrs. Jordan. Are there any other nominations? Hearing no other nominations, may I have a motion to close nominations? Ms. Johnson, Ms. Nowinski, all in favor? Will Mrs. O'Brien please come forward to take the Board of Education President's oath of office?
I, Elizabeth O'Brien,
do solemnly swear
that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
and the Constitution of the State of New York,
and the Constitution of the State of New York,
and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of President of the Board of Education,
and I will faithfully discharge the duty of President of the Board of Education.
At this time, the president of the board will now chair the meeting.
I will now accept nominations for the office of the vice president of the Babylon Union Free School District Board of Education.
I'd like to nominate Carol Delora as vice president.
And do I have a second? Mrs. Pannon. Any further nominations? Hearing no further nominations, I have a motion to close nominations. Mrs. Donaldson, seconded by Mrs. Delacy. All in favor of Carol Borba as vice president? That's a 7-0. Will Carol Borba go forward to take the Board of Education vice president over the office? June 8th, 2020, and June 22nd, 2020. Mr. Jarrett, Seconded by Mrs. Donaldson. Any discussion? All in favor? Passes 6-0. Mrs. Rowley, superintendent's report.
Hi, everybody can hear me, I hope, right? Perfect. I just want to welcome everyone here tonight. I am doing this virtually tonight because I had some required out-of-town travel. So hopefully you can all hear me, but we have a lot of good things to report tonight. First, I want to congratulate the Babylon High School class of 2020. They were recently honored as an exceptional class that we just recently graduated. We had a series of 4 graduation ceremonies. On Friday, June 26th, all 135 members of the graduating class gathered on Walter Williams Field for the senior farewell. They were wearing masks, separated by 6 feet at all times, and the seniors listened to a reflection by senior class president Madeline Graham, a greeting from Principal Al Cerrone, speeches by salutatorian Kate Hannon and valedictorian Anna Romero Mejia, and a farewell address by teacher Frank Mancuso, whom the students had voted to speak. Due to the Governor Cuomo's 150-person capacity limit, we were permitted to have all of the kids by themselves on the field, and that event was live streamed so proud families could watch from home. Then the following day, the high school held 3 diploma ceremonies, each of whom were allowed 2 guests, and that was the chance where graduates received their diplomas with their moms and dads in the audience, and their tassels on the left-hand side were moved. And now they are official alumni. So we'd like to congratulate the entire class of 2020 on their achievements, as well as their perseverance during a very unconventional end to their high school careers. We wish all graduates great success and fulfillment in the future, as we are very confident that each graduate will go on to make a very positive contribution in our world. We also want to congratulate all of our 2nd and 6th grade students who celebrated June moving up ceremonies. They now move on to their respective schools, being the grade school and the junior senior high school. Our 2 elementary principals work together with parents to create a consistent approach for their moving up ceremonies, comprised of both in-person ceremonies with students and families meeting the 150-person limit to virtual component celebrations as well. So we want to congratulate all of those youngsters. Summer school, the K-6 summer skills program and the special education summer program are now in full swing. We have approximately 150 students registered for the virtual K-6 program, which has live components and is taught using a co-taught model to deliver both large group and small group pullout instruction. Additionally, we have a small but engaged group of youngsters who have registered for the in-person and virtual hybrid special education in-district summer program this summer. That is physically being held at the Babylon Memorial Grade School when they're doing in-person lessons. All safety protocols for the in-person program are being enforced, being PPEs, taking temperatures, sanitizing spaces, and social distancing. And I wanna thank Lisa Consolo and Mr. D'Amico and all of the teachers who came together to put those programs together for us this summer. Finally, I wanna talk a little bit about the virtual learning and planning survey. The district created and distributed a survey in which we sought parent feedback as to various scenarios for school reopening this September. We also sought feedback regarding families' experiences with distance learning. Overall, the district received an overwhelming number of responses. We had 655 family surveys in total that were submitted by the close date. And we are now reviewing those results. Know that we're taking feedback very seriously in our continued planning this summer. And the majority of parents, I will tell you, did respond that they hope schools can reopen in September. However, they do know that is a decision that does not rest with us, but rather with the state of New York. But that is exactly what we are advocating for. As you know, I've had a voice on the state's reopening task force, as well as on the island's regional teams. But whatever happens in September, we are still waiting for guidance. In the meantime, we have been actively planning to prepare for all scenarios, one which will be fine-tuned. Hopefully, we're hearing by mid-July, based on New York State guidance that is coming down. So although the survey is now closed, if someone missed filling it out and submitting it, they can surely email any one of us in the central office with additional comments. We are reviewing those. As I said, we are reviewing survey results, and we do plan on discussing those survey results at the August 10th board meeting. And we will also be discussing September's action plan based on New York State directives. Thank you. That's all I have for tonight.
Thank you. Okay. I have a motion for omnibus items 1 through 6 under new business. Mrs. Dawson? Gotcha. Mrs. Delardo? Any discussion?
Say 1 through
36. 36.
Okay, I did have just two questions on items before we talk about them. That's on 28, the agreement with the village. Now, I know it's the, with the trash and the security part of that as well. We said you could do an agreement with the parking lot in the summer. Not that I'm taking trash sitting right now, but that's a part of it.
Dr. Daly, do you want to answer that one?
Oh, sure.
Thank you. Okay.
Existing agreement, which is for waste removal only. The only change is changing that to CPI, which is what we've been doing annually.
Okay. And my other question is just on the 20, number 29, the child care arrangements. How is that working for parents that coming, drop the kids off? Is there kind of busing kids coming into the district, bringing children to the school program?
I heard a little bit of that. If you could repeat the question.
Sure. Number 29, the intermunicipal child care arrangement for the SCOPE program at the school. Are these parents responsible for transportation? Are they district busing them to us? About how many kids do we think is going to take advantage of this?
For the summer program?
For the SCOPE program?
Right. Well, we had about 19 students enrolled throughout the spring. The summer, they're still, having students register. They anticipate that the same number of students will continue utilizing the program. The majority of those students are Babylonian students, and busing is not offered. Parents have to drop them off and pick them up each day.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, Mrs. Rowley. Can we just give a little explanation as to item number 5, the recall of our teacher?
Yes. Item number 5, we are recalling that professional back onto STEP. This was a position that we thought, due to cutbacks that were necessary during the budget, that it went to a preferred eligibility list. Based on unforeseen numbers of registrants in the kindergarten coming in, and we take numbers very seriously throughout every week now during the summer months, we decided to open up another section of the kindergarten for September. So with that decision comes the need to call back this particular employee to a full-time position.
All in favor of omnibusing items 1 through 36. Mrs. Scher, seconded by Mrs. Penne. And all in favor? Sorry. Again, that was 6-0. Okay. Now, may I have a motion to approve items 1 through 36? Mrs. Noetti, seconded by Mrs. Donaldson. We've already discussed. Any further discussion? Great. All in favor? Other business, Mrs. Rodney.
Okay. I want to discuss upcoming board retreats and those opportunities opportunities for the board to meet annually like we do during the summer months. I'd like to do 2 days of retreat this year. I have penned in July 29th and July 30th as two possible dates. 29th and 30th.
Okay, we would just have to look, Mrs. Rodney, just the 30th in the morning right now, we have a policy meeting scheduled. So again, we can change the policy meeting, but I just want to make sure that we do that within that time frame.
Or we could do the 28th and 29th. I will put an email out to everybody with a couple of scenarios. You let me know, okay?
Okay. So let's focus on the 29th and 30th.
Where we can just adjust the meeting.
Okay.
Next.
And we also will give you a date for a late summer Board of Education facilities tour. I'm going to ask Dr. Daly to just briefly summarize for the community tonight the work that is going on throughout the district with that capital project.
The Roll-Ball Steps handicap map is basically completed. What we're waiting for now is the fabrication of the handrails. They typically will not do that until they pour the concrete and everything's fine. The men are working as we speak. They're finishing the demo on the girls and boys bathrooms adjacent to the gymnasium and high school cafeteria. We expect that shouldn't take very long, although again, work is done, but you do have to wait for some of the finishes to come. The colors have all been selected, so now it's just a matter of waiting game. There should be no problem whatsoever with either of those two projects being completed by the start school. The other thing that was, the item that was approved by the voters on our last vote was the $200,000 capital reserve fund project for the replacement installation of the road hole heating and air conditioning unit. So that has been ordered. Again, that's a long lead item. We expect that at some point, September or October, they'll install that unit. The issue with that is not necessarily the heating. As you know, it deals more with the cooling. So we'll be fine when we get to that, you know, cooling season 2021. What's going on?
Will there be any disruptions to the use of Roll-Ball when they do the installation?
I don't anticipate. I mean, that's something that clearly they will do either on weekends or over an extended break. There's really nothing really involved on the inside of the building.
Thank you. Mrs. Brown?
Okay. Next, I have three questions from a community member, Kelly O'Hara. First question is, has the Board of Education made a change to its policy to allow the public be heard prior to voting on issues? That's the question. If not, when may it be discussed? Can you advise where the Board of Ed policies are listed and where this policy would be found? So the Board of Ed policies are listed on the front page of the website. Under the Board of Education tab, if you scroll down, you will see policies. You click that and it will be policy 2350. As far as a change to the policy, that is a board decision. I don't know if anyone wants to add anything to that.
I can do that because at that point I was policy chair. So just for those of you that, just for everybody, just kind of as a refresher, at our retreat last July, you know, we worked with our kind of our mediator facilitator, and there was a suggestion in terms of how we could possibly reorganize the agenda. And the reason being, and again, it was discussed at the policy meeting on August 5th of 2019. I remember that because that was my birthday. And then again, that was brought up for a first reading on August 26th, 2019. Although we wanted to start the new year, the new school year consistently, I think we all made a point as a board, we didn't want to rush it because we wanted to make sure there was time for public discussion. So we did a first reading on August 26th. That is in the minutes. And then we did a second reading and approval on September 9th.
So if they, that is in the minutes, so, you know, we can go back and look at that. I did pull up the minutes from September 9th, just so clearly people understand the process. Again, it had been discussed at the prior meeting as well. So reflecting on those minutes, you know, it mentioned here that we also adopted a homeless child policy at the time as well. So if this was the board meeting procedures that was to be adopted, and as mentioned in the minutes, as we had discussed at the last couple of meetings, these revised procedures, which came out of the recommendation from our board retreat, will offer questions on board agenda items to be answered proactively, as we had gotten some feedback about that. So we can eliminate the "we can get back to you" when the agenda is sent out to the public. From now on, it will be indicated that any questions on the agenda item can be emailed in advance to Mrs. Rowley. The questions and comments section will remain for any questions or comments, even those that are on agenda items that are not emailed to Mrs. Rockley. And that was it. So that was just the summary of the minutes. So that is in the minutes of September 9th, 2019. Also, if you go back to the minutes of August 26th, 2019, you'll see kind of a little discussion there as well. So I don't know if that's helpful, but
Thank you.
Okay. We have two more questions. One question I think I answered, it states, when will the results of the return to school parent survey be shared with the public? I mentioned that in my message tonight. That will be at the August 10th meeting. And the third question, I'm going to ask Mr. D'Amico to go into detail as his office coordinated this. It says at the K through six level, the third trimester reports are form letters, with the exception of a name change. There's very little deviation, if not any, of wording and comments from student to student. The largest majority of the comments are what the district for distance learning was and not about the student. Who made the decision that a form letter would be appropriate assessment of a student's learning and performance? When will parents be receiving an accurate account of their child's performance? So this is something I know Mr. D'Amico discussed with other surrounding districts. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. D'Amico.
Thank you, Mr. D'Amico. I want to take some time to thank you, because I understand Mrs. O'Hara's question and want to thank her, start by thanking her for sharing her perspective. I really do understand her concerns. And I think in a way she's probably expressing a greater concern with the distance learning plan in general. One that is shared by the community members, some community members. And I want to finish by coming back to that and talking a little bit about the parent survey. So I'm going to go through her question and break it down and try and struggle through this mask to look at my notes and speak to her points or her questions. Her first one, who made the decision that a form letter would be an appropriate assessment of a student's learning and performance? That would be me. I recommended that to the superintendent. And it was, you know, grading in general was a topic. Those of you who are teachers, and I believe Mrs. O'Hara maybe or was a teacher. Grading was a topic that was discussed at large in the district with colleagues and teachers, and also in our separate groups. So principals were discussing it. I certainly discussed it with other assistant superintendents at the Superintendent's Council for the Western BOCES assistant superintendents. And what we did was not unique. It wasn't a trailblazer in terms of choosing a narrative. Now, Mrs. O'Hara refers to it as a form a number of times in her email, and she puts it in quotation. And again, I understand that. I understand why she's saying that. There were elements of our narrative that were the same across each of the grade levels. But I'm going to respectfully refer to it as what we meant it to be, a narrative report card. And I'm doing that in respect of my colleagues and the people that I work with on. But even more importantly, in respect to our intentions and our best efforts to do what was best for
our children and our students. It wouldn't, as I said, this was something that was discussed, and I really, there was a great deal of transparency. I addressed these things in the cover letter that accompanied the narrative report card, so I want to read that cover letter, at least a piece of it. In lieu of our traditional third trimester report card, we have chosen to provide a narrative report for each of our students. The narrative, developed by our classroom teachers, reviews the units of studies, concepts, and skills covered during distance learning. While it is not intended to be an evaluation of your child's efforts or performance, it will serve as the official reporting document for the third trimester and the district. Our K-6 students required the most supervision during distance learning and were most impacted by hardship and the other circumstances resulting from COVID-19. For these reasons, we believe that a non-evaluative approach to reporting on the third trimester is most equitable and appropriate. And that was true of a lot of my colleagues who sat in my position. They also felt that a non-evaluative approach to reporting on their last part of the year was most appropriate. Okay, Mrs. O'Hara then asks, there is zero personalization from the special area teachers, only a synopsis on what they, the teachers, did, not students. Why was this allowable? But the truth is, special area teachers never provide a narrative on our students. And I would just like to talk a little bit about the narrative or the comment section in general. It was clear we could not use our regular report card. It's a standard-based report card. It would not have been appropriate to use that. Some districts who also just provided a narrative just sent home the report card blank with the comments section filled out. Now, those of you who have seen our report cards, it's consistent with many other report cards, with most others. There's not a lot of space there to write. There's only a short amount of space there. We didn't want to do that. That would not have been appropriate. It's also worth noting that on many report cards, there's a drop-down feature for comments. So there's a drop-down menu, and you're selecting canned comments. We don't do that on our traditional report cards in any grade except for 6th. In K-5, we have a small spot for teachers to provide comments. We wanted to give something a little bit more thorough that, as I said in the cover letter, did speak to what we did, what distance learning looked like. And we did talk about adding a line or two that was perhaps personalized. Now, the special area teachers are a whole different group. Coach Andrews at the elementary school sees every student in the elementary school. Mrs. Andrami in the grade school sees every student in the grade school. I don't believe it would have been reasonable or appropriate to ask them to develop a unique narrative on each child in the building. They don't do that during the traditional, during what our regular reporting time. I don't think it would have been appropriate or reasonable to expect them to do that. So what we asked them to do was to provide a short paragraph on the opportunities they provided for their students during distance learning. And we included that with the narratives that each grade level teacher sent home. So each parent got the cover letter from me. The next sheet was the narrative from the classroom teacher. And the third sheet was a list of paragraphs written by the special area teachers describing the opportunities they provided for their students. We felt that was both appropriate and reasonable for them. And just as another layer of transparency, from my perspective as somebody who's in the classroom for 12 years, we want to be, as teachers, I'm speaking of past tense when I was a teacher before I was an administrator, we want to speak, we want you to know that we know your children. And so when we write narratives, we try to write them in a way that shows you that we've made a connection with your child and that we know your child. But the reality is, that's the espoused theory. The theory in practice, as much as we try to do that, the reality is that every classroom teacher has 20 to 25 kids. And after 5 years of teaching, 10 years of teaching, 15 years of teaching, we develop a style and an understanding of our children. So as much as we try to be unique and convey to you that we understand your child uniquely, we can't help but start talking about our children in the way that we come to know children after years of experience. So we make statements about their skills, their strengths, their weaknesses, what we enjoy about them. But if you looked over a teacher's career, at 30 years of writing comments, you would start to see patterns. Now, why am I bringing this up? I don't know, maybe my teachers are about, hey, what are you doing? You're talking. But that's the reality. And so as much as we try to be unique and creative, that's a real challenging task over numbers of years. It was even a more difficult task in under this environment that we were teaching them. So that's where we were with special area teachers. They really could not do it. When will parents, O'Hara goes on to ask, when will parents be receiving an accurate account of their child's performance? Now, I'm assuming here that she's not speaking about an accurate account of our children's performance for the third trimester of the 1920 school year. But I would like to speak to that because, and again, I'm not alone in this thinking. I don't think we could have provided an accurate performance, an accurate assessment of our children's performance. I don't think we could have done that. And it certainly, it would have been even more difficult to provide a valid and reliable account of their performance. Why? Why is that so? Why do I believe that? Well, for a number of different variables. Things like technology. In some houses, they had no problems connecting. Other houses had lots of problems connecting. There were some houses where we had to work so hard to just get a connection and they didn't have a connection. We were advising some students, well, they were asking this, if I come into the parking lot, will I be able to pick up the district's wireless connection there? Yes, you can. Now, that was something we had no control over. We just couldn't control that. We could help troubleshoot their problems with technology, and there were many of those. And our teachers in our technology department, they were just doing anything they could to troubleshoot technology problems. But the reality is that that was not something that could be equitable, especially in the way that we were asked to deal with it immediately. It just happened that we had to deal with technology. Support. In some homes, some children's homes, there was always a parent right next to that child who was good with technology, who was able to access everything, who supported their child through all their work. In some houses, maybe there were two essential workers. In some houses, maybe there were two people working from home. In some houses, maybe there were four kids who had to be online. There was just no way to really equitably assess the amount of support that a child was or was not getting. And when you think about that from the youngest of our kids, kindergartners, that's even more impactful. And to try and split hairs, where am I going to change? Where am I going to assess kids? We know up here, 7 through 12, we had a very different reporting system that was appropriate for these kids. But to try and split hairs and say, I'm going to assess and report on the sixth graders different than the fourth graders or the third graders or the second graders, it just did not make sense. Another variable is hardship. Some children, everything was fine, and things were just kind of rolling along. And it was easy for them to find the silver linings in the world we are currently living in. Maybe mom or dad were home for dinner more. That was the case in my house. In the 18 years I've been employed as an administrator at Babylon, my family had not seen me for dinner more than now. There was a little bit of a silver lining. In other homes, it was much harder to find the silver lining. There was a lot of real hardship in many of our homes. And so there was an inequity there as well. And finally, in participation. Some kids participated all the time, and we have records of that. We could watch that. Some kids, no matter how much we coaxed and called and urged, motivated, and bribed, couldn't get them to participate. And that's because of many of those other variables, the level of support they might have, the hardship in their house, the problems with technology. And so, it just going back to my cover letter, there was just a sense that really, if I'm evaluating a child in this environment, especially our youngest, and then split the hairs as you go up, I'm really evaluating the parent and the household and the situation. And for me personally, that was not something I was willing to do to our children. It was not something I was willing to do to our parents either. It just didn't seem fair, it didn't seem reasonable, and it did not seem appropriate. So what about moving forward? So let's look at Mrs. O'Hara's question through that lens. When will parents be receiving an accurate account of their child's performance? The answer to that is the next marking period. And that speaks a little bit, I just want to speak a little bit to the survey. We got a lot of feedback from the survey. We really did. And, you know, what I would want the Board of Ed to know and the community to know is that we're taking that feedback very seriously. And I know that there was some displeasure with the distance learning plan. Not across the community. We got some very positive feedback, but we listened and we know that there was some displeasure with it. And we were reacting to feedback as we moved along. So the last month looked very different than the first one. We opened up more live teaching because we were listening and we knew that was something that was of concern. And moving forward, wherever we find ourselves in September or October or November, we have responded to that. This summer, as you know, our summer schools are all live. We are talking about that, we're training, we're preparing for that. So if there's distance learning in our future, be it September or thereafter, it will look different and it will be responsive to the feedback that we hear from the community. It already is, and it will continue. So I would expect that wherever we are in the next marking period, we will be able to use our current report, or at least use it with very minor tweaks. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Thank
you.
Mrs. Rodney, are there any other questions?
No, there were not.
Any representatives from organizations? Questions from visitors? Please stand. We don't have a podium, so you can stand in place and state your name.
I have a question. For the next meeting, I was looking at an article. For the August 10th meeting, I was reading an article about sports. happening in the fall. And they listed out, of course, no one has any answers yet. Hopefully by then we'll have answers, but there are six different scenarios listed with different A, B options. So we need to just kind of have a kind of a plan set in place because some of the seasons were shorter. It looked like it could be possible four seasons in varsity. So that we had to kind of talk about what that means in terms of budgeting for salaries and all those other things. So and it switches them up like football, they're talking about pushing later and all these crazy, crazy options. But I want to make sure that we have some discussion in place before that next meeting so we can review it in case something has been made by then.
Yeah, if I may chime in on this, Mr. DeJoseph has been actively engaged with Section 11 officials on those scenarios. I could actually invite him to our next meeting to discuss the progress that, you know, the districts in general are making. Would that help?
That would be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Danielle Bailey. I have three girls in the district. I just was curious about how the distance learning and the plans for the fall are coming along, and how I heard a little bit from you today that, you know, I just want to know about the process. Like, how does the process work? Who are the players involved? Like, is it, you know, the administrators from each of the schools that are getting together to kind of plan what happens in September? Is the superintendent in charge of this group? Are there parents on this focus group? Is there the PTA involved? Like, who are the players and how is it getting done? Are you having meetings, like regular meetings? Like, how is the public going to be informed as how this goes? I know there was a survey, you filled it out, and you're saying that the survey will be reviewed August 10th. Well, that's real close to we're going to, you know, if schools are going to start. It's about a month before school. So
just on that point, they're reviewing the survey. She wants to present it in August, present that survey at August 10th. Ms. Bradley, were you able to hear?
Yes, I was. I don't know who the parent is, though. I can't see her.
Hi. Where is she?
You're asking great questions. Yes, we have had ongoing committees all spring and all summer. We have some major players getting involved who have been involved, building principals, facilities administrators, nurses, security officers, central administration, teachers. After we get the results of this survey, which we have now, we will continue with a series of committee meetings, getting a couple of parent reps on each of those committees that we believe is, you know, are in their lane, we call it. I will be giving out something very shortly to all parents if they're interested in joining one of the committees. We're going to be picking names out of a hat. One of the feedback pieces from the survey that we received were if they want to get involved, they hope that we broaden the scope of who we select from. So I think a lot of districts that I've been talking with, we're all pretty much picking people randomly for the certain kind of committees that they would want to be on. And those committees will probably be, they've already been functioning with, you know, guidelines from the CDC that we have. But before we finalize anything, come the second week in August into the third week of August, we will already have met with those committees for a couple times already with parent reps. So that will be coming out shortly. But we did hear from parents who want to be involved that might not have the connections, you know, so they might not be so connected to the schools, but they might have some things to offer.
Yeah, so there are committee meetings happening before the August 10th.
Oh, yeah, they've been ongoing, yes.
Yeah. My curiosity is, like, you know, I understand, I don't know where we're at, like, I feel like I'm pretty connected, like, I pay attention, I read my emails, you know.
Here's where we're at. We know where we're at because we're very well planned right now, but we're not going to give information out if we don't know directions yet from the governor.
No, I get that. I get that.
No, we can't give false hope out to people, you know. We've been advocating for a full opening. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we are about 75% there, ready to go with any kind of scenario. But until we get direction from this governor, we are not giving any information out or getting parents on, because then we'll get parents on certain committees to help us spread the word and get the correct information out.
Date has been, there's no deadline. From what I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, he hasn't said by this date. He said around this date, the information will come out.
Right.
And I think the 13th or the 15th.
I've heard both. And I will tell you, just the way parents are feeling, the school districts are feeling, we're getting no answers right now.
Planning feels like, you know, playing darts with a blindfold. Yeah.
We're shooting darts in the dark. But we're ready. I mean, we know what scenarios could be, and we've been meeting with inside district people who are experts.
Okay. So I appreciate your help. I just really wanted to know kind of like how we were creating the groups and who's involved in,
Yeah, to be fair, people want random selection. It probably will be where we pick out of a hat. So, you know, there's representation.
Hi, Lane Barry. I just have a question regarding agenda item 14, the amendment for the superintendent's contract. I was wondering if someone can elaborate on what that amendment includes and does it include any monetary changes?
Yes, that is the annual MOA for the superintendent's raise, and it's a 2% raise in line with our other bargaining units.
I'm sorry, 2% raise and what?
In line with our other bargaining unit, with the other bargaining units.
Are you able to elaborate on what the total salary is at this time? Or do I have to foil it?
No, okay. $254,399.
And item number four, my question is, what position is abolished?
Mrs. Rodney, I don't know if you heard Mrs. Berry, item number four, the abolishment of the position.
That is a retiree at the elementary school level that we did not anticipate replacing. Again, as we look at grade level sizes throughout the summer months, that might have to be restored, but right now, that was planned to be an abolishment of the line in the budget, not necessarily a position. A person, because that person actually just retired. So by abolishing that position, that means you don't have to rehire it.
And then another question regarding the policy change that somebody had a question on. You stated that, you know, I know that there was a policy meeting and there were two readings. If you could tell me, when was that first policy meeting where it was discussed?
Right, the policy meeting was August 5th, and then the two readings were August 28th, and you'll find the minutes there as far as the committee meeting reports. And then the second reading would be September 9th, and again, I know the minutes are on August 25th.
Okay,
26th. And then it's the first reading on September 9th, 2019 was the second reading and the approval.
Can you tell me when was the subject matter definitely expressed in the meeting before and also in the email stating that the policy meeting, did it state the subject matter?
As far as, we don't set an agenda with the policy meeting.
Well, you're supposed to say what the subject is that you are discussing on any for transparency purposes.
No, I'm not saying not being transparent, but I know that's not something that we have done for each committee meeting along the way.
No, it hasn't been done, and it's supposed to be done, as you know.
Well, it's not a requirement,
It's not a requirement, but it's transparency for the public to know that there's going to be a change at a public meeting that greatly affects us.
Right, and that is why it was on the agenda for the August 26th meeting as well as September 9th. And again, right. We even though we wanted to start the school year with a new policy, we We did not, we could have done it all on the 26th, but we wanted open to two discussions, so if you missed one meeting, you have the opportunity for the second.
My point being is the policy meeting, before the policy was actually changed in the meeting, how did the public know that that was the subject matter?
So was that attended policy meeting?
If you could just let me finish the sentence, I would greatly appreciate it, Trish. Okay.
Thank you.
We have social distancing. Okay. I'm not. It's either one or the other. If you've read the if you're ready.
It's our meeting. But anyway, okay. So you can speak. So, I said what I said, but you can just.
Speak. Okay, and I'm just gonna say again. Mm-hmm. We always have the opportunity to send an email with questions. So all that policy did, in my view, is take away from the residents the right to ask a question before a subject is voted on. So you took away from the residents instead of giving to us, because we always had the opportunity to email. I know you're thinking it's more effective, but it's not more effective. You took something away from the people, in my opinion, and all of you voted for it.
Well, on the 26th and the 9th, people had the opportunity to share.
Had I known about it, I would have been here, and I probably would have been here by myself against seven of you yelling at me.
I don't think
okay.
Thank you so much for your
yes.
your opinion.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from visitors? Please.
Angela Campagno, I cannot wear my mask when I'm speaking, so I will social distance myself from you. I will just pick up where Eileen Berry left off, since that is the current topic. I am requesting the board to consider changing policy number 2350, where you moved our questions as the public to after you approve an agenda item. It's an honest request. I think it kind of expands. Everybody's asking for more information about the policy, but at the end of the day, maybe the policy should be changed back to the way it was. That I'm just proposing that. That's
so our next policy is what?
Well, it might be changing the retreat.
Oh, okay. So we're going to figure out our retreat, and that can be, if you'd like to come to the policy meeting and discuss, you're welcome to come to the next policy meeting. They are open.
Is there anything special that I would have to do other than just repeating what I'm saying right now at the policy meeting?
No, you can.
Okay.
It'll be the same day.
Okay. I would also then, I'll go back to adding a little bit more on what Mrs. Paisley was speaking about. I understand that you guys probably have a plan in place, many plans, who knows what's going to happen. What are you doing if things need to be purchased? What are you doing if there's a possibility that we don't need all of our teachers? Because there could be some changes. We know what just happened in Bayshore, it's all over. I would like you to address that. Is that a concern? We know how many teachers you needed. Are you going to need the same amount if these kids are not going in and out of the school consistently? Has this been addressed? We did not have a treasurer's report discussion on today's meeting, which I think it's supposed to be, so I'm not sure if there's a treasurer's report to be discussed.
Just not sure.
I know that was two items, sorry.
So the first piece to follow up, Mrs. Bradley, are you able to hear all of that from Mrs. Campagna?
Yes, I'm going to defer to Dr. Daly. Dr. Daly and I were talking about purchases and holding off purchases for the time being that we didn't have to purchase right now. As far as the teaching staff goes, I believe Babylon is in a very safe position where we wouldn't be facing layoffs. You know, worst case scenario, Mrs. Campagna, if we did go to a hybrid model or a full virtual model, we need teachers, we need our current staff to work with the current student body. We're not over in abundance we don't have an abundance within our teaching staff where we could, you know, not have them anymore. I think when we planned the budget, you know, we planned appropriately for all situations, if that makes you feel a little bit better. I'll defer the rest to Dr. Daly.
Before the purchasing, I didn't mean general purchasing. I meant purchasing as in scanners. Will we possibly need additional healthcare people at the doors to check students?
Yeah, we have that all under control. We have all those things ordered. We have people ready to go in place. We've been doing all that.
Okay. Mr. D'Amico, I appreciate all of your concerns as a reaction to Ms. O'Hara's questions from the survey. I think that was important for a lot of our parents to hear that we're all sort of experiencing some of the same similar items at home. I'm hoping that everything you said comes into play with how you guys are going to roll out any possible learning modifications in September, because those are all the same factors that you're hearing from some of the parents that were upset. You're going to have people that are not going to be happy, and you're going to have people that are going to be happy. We all know that. We know that at the PTA. We all know it, and it's wonderful that you were as thorough in your explanation to the form letter. I know that other people had concerns about that it wasn't as personal as it possibly could have been. So I appreciate your honesty in your responses to her.
Thank you. And again, I understand that. I understand that perspective.
I have another item regarding Zoom meetings and whether or not I think that they have been very successful. And if you guys are going to consider doing Zoom meetings for the rest of the year, at least just to see how it continues. I know it helps a lot of our folks at home that can't get out to see what's going on at the meetings. And I think it's opened a lot of people's eyes over the last 3 months, how the meetings occur. I know when you originally sent the agenda or the notification for today's meeting, it did not include a Zoom. And then there was really clarification of how many people could attend. So, and then you added that
you mean live
streaming.
You mean live streaming?
Yes, live streaming.
Not all on a Zoom call.
No. I'm sorry. Yeah, live streaming. Because obviously, this right now is currently okay to be done. Just that it's there for
people. I just wanted to clarify what you're
saying. Thank you. Yes, so that's what I was saying. Would that be something that you guys are going to consider to do going forward?
So that's also, I believe, has to be a policy change. Ms. Rossi, if that were to happen. If the board continues to lie,
I'm not sure. I'd have to ask legal counsel about that. I don't know.
Yeah, Ms. Campagna, we can discuss at a retreat and see what the legalities of it are, what policies have to be changed, if it's something that the district and the board want to do.
Perfect. Thank you. Will you continue this year doing committee meetings? I know that you're setting up your committees and you haven't set your meetings, but I know a lot of times over the last year, your committee meetings were earlier in the day. If the Zoom occurs and you approve that, then that may alleviate some parents from not being able to attend those meetings because they happen early afternoon. But would you consider having committee meetings in the evening time so it makes it more accessible to parents in the district?
I can answer that question. One of the things that we've done, we have to have employee groups represented on those committees. That's why you find many of those committees are right after the school day. But what we've done in recent years, we've tried to make at least one or two of those committee meetings evening meetings. That's what I would recommend. And sometimes those evening meetings get more people out. But we try to balance it for those reasons.
For item number 29, the child care, which Ms. Jurz used the word scope, which was not used in that item at all. That item is addressing scope for only healthcare workers. What about the rest of our community that needs help with their children before and after? And obviously, yes, this is coming back again to the state regulations. That one was just summer?
Yeah. Yes, so just summer.
Okay, sorry for my confusion on that. Okay, so then the only other thing I have, it goes back to your abolishing that one position for the elementary school, and now you brought Ms. Malone down, which is amazing. But at our last meeting, and when you promoted the budget, you said that we were not replacing our retirees. Now you moved someone back in, you took away a position. So I'm a little confused how the movement has occurred when we were told positions were not being replaced because of attrition, but now we're seeing an increase in kindergarten registration. So I'm a little just confused about how the numbers are moving around within the school building. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we had an influx, many more kids in kindergarten than we anticipated, and many more children we anticipated than what was predicted. And when you know this, when dealing with the school budget, there are certain emergencies that come up that become, you know, emergency contingent spendings, spending. We felt the need that we had to open up another section of the kindergarten. We have the right to do that.
Right. Thank you. So the kindergarten teachers went from 5 to 4 and now it's back up to 5. Is that correct?
No. They were always at 5, now they're going to 6.
Oh, now they're going back up to 6. Okay.
However, Tony, what you might be remembering is that a few years ago, so second grade is at 6 sections.
The incoming, the going back.
There was a section added when they were in kindergarten. First grade is at 5 sections.
Okay.
And 6, and kindergarten is now 6 sections. So there is now 17 sections there.
Oh, okay. Do you know how many are enrolled right now for kindergarten? I'm just curious, just for
Ms. Rise, do you have the number? Not sure.
It's changing every day. I don't know the number offhand. I know it's over 105.
Oh, okay. It is over 105.
Yeah.
Future board meetings. The next regular business meeting will be here in the library, August 10th at 7 p.m. I have a motion to meet an executive session to discuss the employment history of particular individuals. Mr. Chair, second by Mrs. Verba. All in favor? Ms. Chair, passes. I have a motion to adjourn. No further action will be taken. Thank you for coming. Another change,
Zoom?
Yeah, we have to change out the Zoom.